Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, here on the MLW Radio Network. I just got done watching Clash of Champions. You probably watched it too. If you didn't watch it, you can listen to the show because I'm going to review it. But if you did watch it, I'm not going to spend a year reviewing it since you just watched it for a year. We're going to go through it. We're going to talk about the high points and my takes on what's going to happen. We're also going to talk about what WWE should do this week. This is a very crucial week for the WWE in a lot of ways, the beginning of the Wednesday Night Wars, and also just a little tidbit about who I think will be an AEW headliner a year, and it's somebody that no one's talking about. Today, on Total Engagement. Clash of Champions review. It started with the pre-show. We had a cruiserweight title match, Drew Gulak versus Humberto Carrillo and Lince Dorado for the cruiserweight title. It was a fine match full of good spots. It wasn't a spot fest, although there's a lot of spots. These guys do work hard. And if you're into kind of work ratey stuff, this was the match for you, although I'm not aware of any of the stories and neither is anybody else. And it's my understanding that 205 Live is going the way of the Dodo Bird, and we're not going to see it anymore. Strangely, also, we had AJ Styles versus Cedric Alexander to retain the United States title in the pre-show. Now, a lot of people complain about AEW's pre-shows, like, who the hell would order this if they put this crap on there? But in this particular case, the WWE put some good matches on there. People still complain. Where else are you going to put this match? I don't have a problem with it. I thought it was a pretty decent match. Nothing really to talk about except Cedric was beaten pretty handily with the Styles Clash, and they beat him down afterwards. People are doing little snarky comments like, hey, what happened to his push? But, you know, it's early, dude. It's still early. It's not like he was going to win the world title tomorrow. I still think he's being pushed, but slowly. Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler defeated Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman to win the Raw Tag Team titles. No one cares about these tag team titles, at least since previous to WrestleMania, when the Revival had them and they weren't on TV a lot, and then Hawkins and Ryder won it, and they weren't on TV that much, and it's not a title that they've been taking seriously, so they did the old thing, we've seen it 1,000 times, take the opponents, put the tag team titles on them. To me, it appears like they had no other ideas, and obviously so, since they threw together this Roode and Ziggler team to beat them. The word I heard, though, from kind of an insider, is that they really want to start elevating guys like Roode and Ziggler, and this is a chance to do it. It's, you know, again, not holding the tag team titles in as high esteem as some of us would want, but I guess that's what we have AEW for. Them losing wasn't really a surprise. It wasn't really exciting. I didn't really care. Bayley against Charlotte Flair. This was a match I was into. I thought it could be a good match, be a great chance for Becky or Bayley to show what she could do and Charlotte to shine. And then it was like over super quickly because Bayley took off the turnbuckle and Charlotte. And I just think that makes no sense. Again, a misuse of Charlotte. Charlotte's someone who could headline WrestleMania, not force down your throat, not miscast, but literally headline WrestleMania as a heel against a strong babyface challenger, maybe Bayley. That's something that could happen. But they seem determined not to give her the push or the placement that she deserves. The Revival defeated the New Day to win the tag team titles. Of course, I think they're still trying to make the Revival happy. They still want to keep them there. They think the Revival are marks for themselves, so they, if they win the titles, they'll stay. I know that's not the case. But at the same time, it's good to see tag team titles on a real tag team. It was second time, I think, a tag team had won the NXT Raw and SmackDown titles. Chad Gable and Jason Jordan did this, but they did it with different partners, ironically, because American Alpha was awesome, and the Revival won it. I think it's fine. If we're going to continue Randy Orton in the Revival, that's fine as well. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeated Fire and Desire to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. This match was not very good. It's weird, I think, when you put Alexa next to Nikki, it kind of defines her down. It makes, for some reason, it makes Alexa look smaller and not as interesting, and it really doesn't work. And then putting her up against two Valkyries, like you know, Sonya and Mandy also doesn't do her any favors. Alexa is a star, and she looks less and less like a star in this tag team against this other tag team. It was not a smooth match. It was not a terrible, terrible match. It could have been worse than that, but it just wasn't that great. But it was a comfortable, brisk pace of a pay-per-view, so I really didn't mind anything that happened. Like, I thought, okay, great, another match. Okay, great, another match. And then Shinsuke and The Miz. And first of all, I love Sami Zayn. You guys know I love Sami Zayn. But the microphone during the match doesn't work. Leo Rush was fantastic when he seconded for Bobby Lashley. But when he was on that microphone chanting, Lashley, Lashley, that shit was not working. When they got rid of the microphone, that started working. And I think Zayn works for him as a mouthpiece, as someone on the outside. But let's not make it all about him. But, you know, Nakamura and Miz, it's not exactly chemistry. And this is where I think the card took a turn for the worse. It was not a fun or good or enjoyable match. But I enjoy what they're trying to do with Shinsuke. I think The Miz needs to find opponents not like Shinsuke Nakamura, not where he's tempted to do, you know, stuff that maybe he's not good at. It doesn't play to his strengths, like we saw in the Andrade match. It doesn't play to his strengths. The Miz has a lot of strengths. He is the prototype WWE superstar in a lot of ways. But when you place him against guys where he feels tempted to wrestle Japanese style and tempted to wrestle, you know, luchador style, it doesn't work. It wasn't that enjoyable. Sasha Banks against Becky Lynch was a good match. It had a lot of energy to it. They had a great brawl outside. And here's the deal. Sasha, to me, has more it factor than Becky. I think Becky really took advantage of that Daniel Bryan type rebellious crowd atmosphere when they tried to turn her heel. The fans got behind her, and then they miscast Becky as this kind of badass, arrogant badass, you know? And she's not that. First of all, she's not physically imposing in the ring. Even with a smaller size, she's not a fast runner or a high jumper. She doesn't have stiff-looking moves. She's an okay promo, but something very disingenuous and disattached happens when she does kind of the I am Becky, the badass character. Sasha, on the other hand, to me, has it. I think she has star quality. And I think if you switch positions and gave Sasha the Becky push, Sasha would be a huge, huge star. I like where they're going with this. I think it's going to a Hell in a Cell. I think they've learned the lessons of the Sasha versus Charlotte Hell in a Cell. And it's not like they shouldn't try it again. They can't say, well, the first women's Hell in a Cell wasn't that great, so we'll never do it again. Maybe it's like, okay, now we know Sasha might not have the body weight to be put through a table in this particular situation, so maybe we can try this different thing in Hell in a Cell. That being said, not a fan of the Hell in a Cell concept as a pay-per-view theme, because that means that all the matches, coincidentally, not because of heat, not because of necessity, have to end up in the cell. And also, there's something missing in the cell when you don't have the blood. And I don't want people to bleed. I don't want people to blade. I don't want people to cut themselves. I don't want people to get hurt. But sometimes it just seems like a jungle gym when it's just throwing them into it over and over again. Kofi against Randy Orton. Oh, this was not good. This was long. This was boring. Randy Orton was taking his time in this match like he just gave Booker T a pedigree. And he was waiting to pin him. Like, he was just so slow. And Kofi is the charisma vacuum of the New Day. Like, people want to get behind him. People like the idea of liking Kofi Kingston. People love the idea of Kofi Mania. People like the idea also of holding true to this tenure that Kofi had, that Kofi put in his time, and we're going to respect that. Also, it's like Kofi's ours, right? You didn't want us to get behind Kofi. But Kofi got his push because the fans got behind him. So all those things are there. But as I like to say, the reality is that Kofi's the third most charismatic and the third best wrestler, probably, and the third best promo in the New Day. So he can only carry it but so far. Now, maybe after this experience, he learns, he hones a couple things, he can come back and do it again. But right now, the tank is empty. People aren't really digging it. People were chanting for Randy. People were chanting for RKO. And if it had been, hypothetically, in that situation back in the day when the injury happened and Kofi got put in the match, Big E got put in that match, or Xavier got put in the match, the groundswell might have happened for them. And if it did happen for them, they would have had the character, the charisma, the promo, the fire in the ring to pull this off through September. And Kofi just didn't, but Orton did not do him any favors. This, I hope they do not take this to Hell in a Cell. I would just like this to be over. The closing segment's usually good with Randy. In this case, it wasn't because he took so much time. Eric Rowan against Roman Reigns, he beat him because Luke Harper appeared, which is great. But that lets me think this. Well, before I get to that, let me say, Eric Rowan's doing a fine job. Eric Rowan's doing better than anybody thought he could. He can promo. He looked ferocious out there. He looked good. Roman's getting this tepid babyface applause that's nowhere near what it used to be, or nowhere near the heat he used to get, good and bad. But Luke Harper, who all of us want to see out there, all of us want to see Luke Harper wrestle for WWE or maybe even AEW. We think he's very talented. We think he's got a good character. He's charismatic. He's a compelling character. We want him out there. But him being out there means they didn't know what the fuck they were doing with this thing to kill Roman. So the whole thing is, it was Rowan the whole time, but Luke Harper was helping him. What happened to the guy that looked like Rowan? Did Rowan, like, kill him? Did he kill him and wear him as a sweater vest? Like, what? Who? So Harper helped Rowan push the stuff down. Okay, that makes sense. They needed two guys, but no one saw Harper in the freaking building. They have to hide Sasha Banks in a bus, but no one saw Harper in the building. So, and as Matthew pointed out yesterday or the other day, we never got our Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns match, which is what I think all of us wanted. And then we get to the main event. Seth Rollins pinned Braun Strowman. It was a very Seth and Brock type match where he had to give him 75 curb stomps and pedigree him and give him 14 more curb stomps to beat him. So this whole thing of keeping Braun strong but getting the clean win. But, you know, Seth is also DOA as a champ, especially with this Fox deal coming up, because the fans were booing Seth winning. They did not want Seth to win. They wanted Braun to win. The Seth crossroads came about a year ago when it was apparent that it was time to try Seth. Let's try Seth in this role again. Let's put him there. We've tried it. It's not entertaining TV. He doesn't work as a babyface. Braun is just damaged beyond belief now. He's been damaged. They bring him up. He gets sent back down. They bring him up. He gets sent back down. And it's a testament to how good he is. And I'm slowly coming around on Braun Strowman. I wasn't as big a fan initially, but I would be a fan of the real Braun Strowman. If you've ever heard Braun Strowman talk, do an interview, he's very articulate. He's funny. He's interesting. If you could tap into the real guy, the one who has the Country Strong tattoo, that's the guy I'd want to see. I think that's the guy that connect with people. And a lot of these matches were better than usual, geared towards seeing what happens next. Still not as good as you'd want to see, but nothing quite as good as what happened at the end of this match. We saw The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, after coming out and disappearing for a month, he came out again. He attacked Seth because the spoiler came out from the venue that he's taking on Seth Rollins in the Hell in a Cell main event for the Universal title. And he came out, he did his thing, people were digging it. The problem that's going to happen here is people are going to cheer The Fiend. People are going to cheer The Fiend, they're going to boo Seth. And for those people who say, well, in this society, we're always going to boo, people always want to boo the good guys. And that's not really true. If you watch NXT, if you watch a lot of different wrestling that's out there, people want to boo the bad guys. You just got to make them bad enough. People want to cheer for the good guys. You just got to make them good enough. And like all wrestling, all these matches, if you give the fans a compelling reason to want somebody to win more than the other person, you're going to have a better product. It's not enough just to say, oh, this will be a good match. Oh, it's a good matchup. Let's see who's better. This is wrestling. You have an opportunity to create a story. Now, the bad side of it, you can create a convoluted story that's lazy and has no ending that you make up as you go along for reasons unbeknownst to everybody, like the Roman Reigns, Eric Rowan angle. But you can give some way, there are some options to make people boo Bray Wyatt. I can do it. I can write it down and get people to boo Bray Wyatt. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure most of you probably out there can do it as well. It just takes effort and follow through and an understanding of wrestling. And right now, what they're heading towards is another lame duck feud for Seth Rollins, where Bray Wyatt is going to be cheered and Seth Rollins is going to be booed because they're bored of him. And where's Braun? Braun's out again. And that is your Clash of Champions review. If I were to grade it, I would say it was a decent pay-per-view, worth watching probably. A little long, but that's what we usually say. It is the beginning of the Wednesday Night Wars this week. What do I mean? Because NXT's moving to Wednesday this week on USA. Now, for those of you who are saying it's not the Wednesday Night Wars because AEW is not, yes, it is. NXT has been on the network forever. There's no reason to move it to be live except AEW. It is counter-programming, and it's okay. It's not a terrible, you know, terrible, malicious, awful move. It's business, and it makes sense if you know, you're not thinking a lot about it. For me, as I said, when they first moved, I gave you five reasons it didn't make sense. They all hold true, but one of them is coming to fruition where they're drawing an audience to Wednesdays now. They're telling people, hey, guess what, guys? You should watch wrestling on Wednesdays now. And then 2 weeks from now, AEW is going to be there. So the beginning of the Wednesday Night War starts this week because NXT will be live. And here's what they need to do. You've got the Fox deal is imminent. SmackDown moving to Fox. Getting football, you know, like on every football game on Fox, they are advertising SmackDown. You've got Raw. You've got two days of drafts coming up for the brands. You've got NXT Live coming up this week. It's time to pull the trigger, guys, on the Vince versus Triple H feud. It's time to do it now. Be smart about it. Make it a long-term thing. But let's make this a thing that culminates at WrestleMania. Let's come up with a loose framework, an idea of a feud between Vince and Triple H involving NXT, involving the brands, involving Fox, that culminates at WrestleMania. That is the creative impetus they need to compete with what is definitely going to be a threat in AEW. That's what I think they should do. What do you think? To close out today's show, I was talking to somebody today about AEW, and they were saying AEW doesn't have a lot of stars, and they said they've got, you know, top-of-the-line stars, Jericho, Moxley, Omega, Cody, and no one beyond that. But I made the argument that, yeah, but in the last year, they've taken a bunch of people nobody knew and made everybody aware of them. And there's a long list of those people. Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Orange Cassidy. Now, for those of you that don't follow AEW, you don't know who these people are. But in a general sense, if you look at Google Trends or you look at their Twitter followers, the brand knowledge of these people by wrestling fans has gone up exponentially. And there's one person, I think, that's not being talked about that I think is going to be a headliner in a year. And he's kind of under the radar because he's in a group setting. And that man's name is Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky has become one of the better wrestlers. He's very charismatic. He does really good promos. His wrestling is out of sight. And right now, people aren't really looking at him because he's part of the SCU triumvirate, the great SCU triumvirate. But as Daniels gets more and more involved with his duties as executive vice president of AEW, and Frankie Kazarian looks like he's ready for a singles run. Man, he looks better than ever. But Scorpio's the one to watch. So if you don't know who he is, look him up. Scorpio Sky, huge star for AEW in the future. And hopefully we're a huge star for you. We've been doing these daily shows, and we're going to do daily shows all week long here on Total Engagement. If you haven't already, please, please subscribe. That helps us out a lot. While you're at it, leave us our 5-star review. That helps us out a lot, too. The way that we keep this podcast going is that we get reviews, we get downloads, you tell your friends, and that's the only way it works, and the show is growing. But as you could probably guess, it's a lot of work because I don't do any of these shows in advance. I do these the night of for you because I'm a wrestling fan. You're wrestling fans. We're all in this together. And we're right here for you tomorrow on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coombs.